Next January will mark the 170th anniversary of the single most important event in California history, the discovery of gold at Sutter's Mill.
Prior to the gold rush, the non-native population of California is less than 5,000. When the gold rush hit, within a matter of months, ultimately 300,000 people came to California. It really was a social earthquake, and we still feel the tremors of it today.
That's Gary Noy, a longtime historian at Sierra College and author of the recently published book Gold Rush Stories, 49 Tales of Seekers, Scoundrels, Loss, and Luck. He says one of those lasting tremors is our Golden State's cultural diversity.
There were many people who came from South America, from Chile. There were Hawaiians, Russians, Europeans. One of the largest groups, 10% of the population of Gold Rush, California, was the French. There were miners from Australia, Chinese, Japanese miners. California became the most culturally, ethnically diverse spot on Earth in a matter of months.
It was, Noy observes, a commingling that begat an uncommon level of interaction, sometimes even collaboration.
There's all of the brutal, horrible stereotypes toward different groups, but there's also many, many accounts of these people who, when they encounter each other personally, they became friends and neighbors and partners, and they oftentimes worked together.
The gold rush was an unusually well-documented time, and not just by the colorful newspapers of the day. Although he studied those accounts, Noy's book is drawn largely, he says, from the resources he found at the California State Library in Sacramento.
Which has an astonishing collection of gold rush materials that I was fortunate to utilize, and some of them, much to my delight, had not been used or even looked at for more than 100 years. Seemingly everybody who came here wrote a diary or a journal or a letter home or kept a record of it. It is one of the most extraordinarily documented events in history.
Despite the enduring popular image of the lone 49er in the backwoods, Noy says far more prospectors worked in teams.
The miners would work in groups. It was safer. It was also more productive to work a claim with more than a handful of people. So the image of the independent miner, while it did happen, it wasn't as common as you would think.
But either way, only a few found and worked successful claims.
Most of the miners who came for the gold rush failed. The conservative estimate is that 80% of them just failed miserably.
Most of the real wealth from that era was gathered by the merchants who supplied the gold seekers.
The phrase at the time was mining the miners. They were able to make fortunes very rapidly at incredibly elevated prices. They're the ones who prospered.
But in the hundreds of first-person accounts Noy culled in the preparation of his book, he says that, boom or bust, most thought of their gold rush experience positively.
There are stories of people striking it rich, but there are endless stories of people who worked and worked and worked knee-deep in ice-cold water in the rivers and found nothing. But curiously, I really didn't find anybody who said that this was a terrible experience. They saw it as the great adventure of their life, and they talked about it the rest of their lives.
I'm Bruce Robinson for KRCB's North Bay Report.